The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Bahamas. And if you're listening in, no matter where you are in the world, let us know. Our text lines are open. 422-4796, 422-4796. So tonight, I have an incredible show for you. And I just want to firstly thank everyone that has reached out to me over the years and encouraged me to get back in the studio, right? A little more committed than I previously was. Your support has been appreciated. And yeah, it feels quite good to be back. And I'm really excited about this new show and what this is going to bring to you. So Beyond the Rock is going to be us having conversations about Bahamians either living beyond the rock, right? Or living abroad, doing things abroad, but basically our impact as Bahamians on the world at large. What are we doing? What are we up to, right? Who are we? And more importantly, like, what is the impact that we're bringing back to the Bahamas? So I believe that you could be a Bahamian anywhere, no matter where you are in the entire world. And I've had the pleasure to meet several Bahamians over the years that have lived abroad, that have more Bahamian pride than you would not believe, right? So I'm talking about houses decked down in the Bahamian paraphernalia. You know, they have their license plate that say things like Bahama Gal. And just so incredible to see, right? Because a lot of times we think that, you know, we can't leave or we can't look beyond the borders for revenue, for business, for networking, whatever it is that you're doing. And that's just not the case. Now, if you want to go ahead and stream live, you can go on the website, right, Guardian Talk Radio, and you'll see a little link there, and you can go ahead and click that. Also, text us if you want to have a conversation. Please don't text my personal phone. I'm not going to be reading those. 422-4796. And at some point, if you do want to call in, I'm going to see if we're going to have the time to actually take one or two calls. It is 323-6232, 325-4316. And tonight, we're going to have a conversation with someone that is absolutely incredible, an incredible Bahamian who is doing amazing things abroad. And I've been wanting to bring this conversation to the airwaves for a while, right? There are certain conversations that you kind of want to have as a host. And sometimes they sit, you know, within you, they sit on your chest for sometimes a year, right, or more, and you're thinking about the concepts and you know what it is that you want to articulate and do. So quite finally, we are bringing this conversation to light. And so I'm going to introduce him in just a second. You may have seen the promotional flyer. And if you were one of those that liked it and shared it, thank you so much for that. And I see we already have a text that's coming in. Yes, so this is someone actually who's listening from New York. Thank you so much. I don't know if you're a Bahamian or not, but tune in. Thank you for supporting the show. I see someone else, they say they are listening from Amsterdam. Now, what I need to know is what time is it, right? If you are in Europe listening now, because that's quite dedication. And I thank you so much for that. But yeah, we're going to get into that shortly. So the shows that I have coming up are going to be Bahamians Abroad. And I want to say, if you know a Bahamian abroad, or if you are a Bahamian abroad and you're doing something amazing, right? Let me know about it. Let me know what's going on. Let me know what projects you're working on, what you're up to. We need to bring it to the Bahamian public, because so much in our news is just doom and gloom, you know, when it's not crime, you know, it's something else. And it's about time that we start to highlight not only what's positive, but also kind of catch up, right? I had someone send me a message early and they said that they love that, you know, this show is positioned in such a way because they had to be nosy while still doing something positive, right? So I said, well, that's one way to look at it. You know, if you want to know what Bahamians are up to abroad and see what they're up to, then this is the perfect venue for that. And so, yeah, go ahead and reach out to me. The best way to reach me is actually on LinkedIn. So if you're on LinkedIn, go ahead and type in Odaz, O-D-A-Z, Lightborn, L-I-G-H-T-B-O-U-R-N-E, and send me a message. If LinkedIn is not allowing you to send a message, because I know they have like parameters on their connections, you can go ahead and message me on Facebook, or you can visit my website. It's gorockstardigital.com. Okay, and you could go ahead and send me a message there. There's a form. If you want to email me, there's an intake form there as well. It's hello@gorockstardigital.com. And that's the best way to reach me. So the text line, once again, I see someone asking for it, 422-4796, 422-4796. So before we get started, I just want to say that this particular guest is all the way in Geneva, Switzerland. And we're going to ask him in a few minutes what time it is there, because if it's late here, I know it must be nearing midnight or a bit beyond. And so that just goes to show, you know, the dedication that we have to bringing this conversation to you. And this is why we do it, right? Because it's shows like this and it's conversations like this that inspire, I believe, the next generation and also the current generation. Because a lot of times we have so much talent as Bahamians, right? And we wonder sometimes, you know, will my talent be appreciated abroad? But you don't want to feel like you're abandoning the nation. You're not, right? Everywhere that you go as a Bahamian, you are an ambassador. I don't know if y'all remember the phrase. It said something like tourism is everybody's business. Same. It's the same thing. Tourism is everybody's business. How you represent us abroad is everybody's business. So, you know, once you're there and you're doing amazing things and you're being highlighted, then, you know, you're contributing to your country and you're growing. You're growing your country, right? And it's a positive effect for us because we often forget that the Bahamas is very small compared to other nations. Yes, we have achieved magnificent things. I mean, in sports right now, it's just amazing. I have to have a sports conversation soon, but I definitely need a co-host or to bring someone in the studio to have that sports conversation because that is not my genre, right? And you have to know your limits and know what you know about what you know. And I do not know much about that topic. So I'll definitely bring that show to you very soon to talk about what Bahamians are doing in baseball, what they're doing in track and field, what they're doing in basketball, you know, all of the different genres where we're seeing success, right? So definitely going to do that. Let's just see if we have our guest, Kermit. We can see if we can stitch him in now. I just want to see if he's, I know he's ready, but I just want to see if I can hear him. And we can actually get started on having this conversation. Once again, the text line, 422-4796, 422-4796. And if you want to contact me, you can actually contact me on the text line now also. Send in your contacts and I will go ahead and reach right back out to you. So let's just see. Let's try. Kemi, are you here? Can you hear me? Are you
here? Good evening, Dazzy. I'm here.
Awesome. So before we get started, I just want to ask, what time is it in Geneva, Switzerland right now?
It's 12:39. So I certainly had to take a nap and get up just to be right and ready for this show.
Wow. Listen, your dedication is applauded. And thank you so much for doing this because, yeah, it's after 12. So you're already into the next day.
I'm in the next day, went to bed and all of that. So, yeah.
So, Kemi, before we get started too deep, I just want you to let everyone know, because a lot of people do know your name. In fact, when I dropped the flyer and I announced that you were going to be on, I had quite a few people reach out to me, extremely excited. And also a little bit of nosiness too, right? What Kemi's doing in Geneva, right? I said, well, if you follow his socials, you know, you'll see what he's up to. So that I found that to be extremely amusing, but I just want you to let everyone know what it is that you're actually doing in Geneva, Switzerland. If you could kind of give us a bird's eye view or a highlight of what you're doing exactly, because it's not just skiing and eating chocolate. Definitely not. In fact, I don't see enough of that kind of content on your page. So let us know what you're doing in Geneva.
Well, the Lord, you asked so many questions all in one.
I know. So, just grab whichever one you want.
I'm currently in Geneva, Switzerland. I've been here since March of last year, March 2023. So I'm here as a trade attaché working at the Bahamas Permanent Mission here in Geneva. Prior to that, people would have known me from working either in Ministry of Finance as Deputy Fiscal Advisor there, or working in the office of the Prime Minister, either on the National Development Plan or dealing with the Over the Hill project under the prior administration. or working at Central Bank or KPMG. My career path has been quite varied, from the private sector to the financing aspect to working in central government, but primarily all dealing with policy issues surrounding small businesses. So dealing with advising small businesses from the financing of it and then on the policy side. So that's primarily my background.
Right, that's amazing. Yeah, no, it's you have quite a significant resume, very impressive bio, and I couldn't help but notice that, like you said, it spanned, you know, private and public sector, right? So for it to culminate now into the role that you're playing now, I think it's amazing. So let us know, so we can get a little deeper now, your career path, right? You mentioned a couple of places that you would have worked before and what your role was. Starting out as a young man, did you know that you would arrive here at some point?
Oh, wow. No. I mean, I can tell you, you know, coming up as, you know, the typical poor black family from 8 Mile Rock, you know, Pinedale, Grand Bahama, to where I'm at right now, no, I certainly never suspected that. It definitely took a lot of hard work and dedication and focus, but my career path has spanned working for Central Bank at a brief point, working on the consulting side for you know, one of the big four accounting firms in the country. So working on things such as the Arak Port project, the privatization of the Arak Port.
That was significant, there. Definitely.
Yes, working one of a former client, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, on Switcher, Mervyn Sweeting, on the private sector side, one of, you know, someone I've worked with when I was in the private sector as well. Then on the financing side, working for the IDB at some point, in terms of putting together financing projects for small businesses and et cetera in the country. And then, as I mentioned, you know, from there moving into the government, the policymaking space. So, you know, when I was a little kid, no, certainly I did not expect this. I actually wanted to be a doctor, surprisingly.
You wanted to be a doctor. That's very interesting. What yeah. type specifically? Just general practitioner? What?
Well, my mom is a nurse. Another aunt is a nurse. Her husband was an EMT. Another right. aunt worked in the hospital at Grand Bahama. So, you know, I grew up, you know, I was good in sciences. So I always thought that because I was good in sciences, that was my calling.
Right. That was going to be the trajectory. Correct.
It was. And, you know, come now, I mean, so while I did get my bachelor's in economics, my minor was also in biochemistry. And at COB, back in the day when I attended, top of my class at COB in sciences. But yeah, eventually a different calling came upon, and this is where I'm at right now, working more so in the policy space, economic analysis, studying human behavior. This is where things left me.
So we have a significant amount of Gen Z actually listening to the show. They reached out to me wanting to, and they specifically had a question asking about your education trajectory, right? And how you were able to cultivate that path. And so if you don't mind expounding a little bit, if you could just take us down, you know, a bit to, you know, high school graduation, you know, you graduate, what's next? And what's next after that? Because I know that a lot of younger persons right now, you know, they're at a pivotal point where they're trying to figure out, you know, what they're going to do. Some of them are not sure, you know, which genre of education they want to get into specifically, but they kind of have a vague idea. So can you tell us a little bit about how your education kind of shaped your path? And what that trajectory was like.
It's funny you say that because, you know, as I mentioned, I started off on the biochemistry path.
Right.
Thinking because I was good at science that medicine was the natural calling for me.
Right.
You know, and as I mentioned, you know, I left Grand Bahama, came to Nassau, went to COB. They're studying sciences. And, you know, I confused being good at something with it being my calling.
Ooh. Say that again. Say that one more time. That's profound, you know.
It was a bit, I confused myself so much. Just because I was good at science, I confused that with that being the calling on my life.
Wow.
It was only until, you know, I left, after I finished my associate's degree at COB and I left and I went off to the U.S., that I realized just because I'm good at something, that may not necessarily be the calling on my life. And I say that because it took me doing an internship, you know, close to the end of my bachelor's degree, doing an internship in Minnesota, It was so funny. I was there at Mayo Medical Clinic. They're doing an internship in the heart section. And I realized, looking around at people coming into the clinic, you know, these people are coughing, these people are sick.
Right.
Even though they had no disease that was contagious, I realized, I don't want to be around sick people. I'm deathly afraid.
I like
that. And there's no way in hell I can do this as my career. So,
it's not a natural fit. It is not a natural fit, right?
No. I remember the conversation with my mother, and she was right there trying to convince me, no, you can still do work in other parts of medical, the medical field. And for me, hell no, I don't want to be in this area at all.
So that was a moment of clarity. This is not for me. I don't need to do this, and I need to shift the path that I'm on, right?
That was the altar call for me. And, you know, again, and I mistook because I was good at it with being my career path.
Right.
Because, you know, A's came so easy for me. Even in BGCSEs, getting A's in biology, chemistry, physics, it was so easy. And I took a class in economics, I think, in my junior year, and I got a B.
Wow.
It was the first time for me, you know, it took a lot of energy and effort, and I got a B.
You got a B.
And it crushed me amicably.
Yes.
I was excited. It was the first time I had to try hard for this grade.
You know how I can tell you were a really good student? Not to cut you off. I'm going to let you finish. Yes. But a B? Cammy, you let a B Some people, the B was what they're aspiring to, right? I had a classmate, you know, once she got a C, she was good. So tell us about this B.
When I left high school, I left high school with my GPA was always near the 3-something, 4 points.
4 points.
When I left UB, my GPA, there was a 3.85 or something like that. So a B for me was crushing.
Wow.
That's not something I'm used to.
Wow.
It shaped my whole career trajectory, and it, you know, but despite getting the B, I loved it and I was passionate about it. And I switched my entire career path to go into economics. That was just it for me. This was I was so passionate and I enjoyed it so much. That was it.
So this is an incredible trajectory, Cammy, because what I'm hearing is, you know, and there's a big school of argument that you see that happens every day, right? So you have the people that are in the camp that say, hey, you know, follow your passion, right? And they're strong in that camp. And then you have people that say, you know, forget your passion, don't even worry about it, just do what you're good at and let that be enough, right? And so me personally, I've struggled with the same thing. Because sometimes, like you said, because you're good at something does not necessarily mean you're passionate about it. And so it's interesting that you came to those crossroads and you chose a different path. Where is there for you any what ifs? Like, had you had continued upon the path of medicine, what that would have looked like for you?
No, not for a second.
Okay, which means you would have been a burnt out. Okay.
No, I right now I thoroughly enjoy what I do. When I look back at my career path in terms of the businesses I've impacted along the way, from helping the small business grow from, you know, being just a little mom and pop shop to a multinational business that can export. When I look at the students I would have taught at, along my career path at UB, giving back. When I look at all of the stops along my way, I don't regret a single aspect of it.
A single aspect. That's excellent. So I want to shift gears just a little bit. We're going to get back to economics, right? But you are in Geneva. You are a Bahamian. The climate is different. Everything is different, right? The food is different. The culture is different. Everything is completely different. How has acclimating been for you as a Bahamian there?
There's a phrase that that's often said that I don't think we think enough about. It says, you know, you don't know what you're missing until you see it. So, you know, of course, I still love my country. I love the peas and rice, and I love all of those other aspects that make me Bahamian. But being here in Geneva, seeing a different side of the world, it's exposed me to so much more. So much more opportunities, just simply in terms of the language. Not just speaking English, but understanding that this is, you know, a bilingual place where, you know, I also have to be working on my French. Looking at different types of cuisine, so not focusing on the peas and rice, because you're not going to really find that here.
Absolutely not, unless you make it yourself.
Focusing on other diet, less peas and rice, more salads and things like that. You know, The lifestyle is certainly different. It's one that's not necessarily easy to adjust to with the weather, et cetera.
Right.
But holistically, if I may say, jumping a bit ahead, it's worthwhile.
It's worthwhile.
It's worthwhile for me in terms of, you know, just imagine, and I say this because I had family visiting me in Christmas, just imagine sitting down in your classroom and hearing about these locations, places like, you know, the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, the Eiffel Tower, things that you only see and hear about in the textbooks that you're now able to just pop on a train and see and experience real time. So while I would never, never discredit the lifestyle we have back home in the Bahamas, you also have to appreciate the other aspects of life abroad that I'm getting to experience here. Seeing, touching, feeling things you only hear about in textbooks and hear about in stories. So I think that's the difference in terms of the life I'm experiencing right now.
Yeah, I like that. So it seems like you're having a good time of it. You're adjusting well. I'm sure that you're meeting, you know, Bahamians, we are everywhere. So I'm sure you're meeting other Bahamians as well, aside from those that you would encounter for work purposes. Have you been running into other Bahamians there? Because I know quite a few that trek, you know, pretty consistently to Geneva. And, you know, it's always surprising to me that just how far flung Bahamians are. So are you seeing anyone? You running into anyone from seeing other Bahamians? What is that like?
Certainly, you know, I run into other Bahamians and other Caribbean folks all the time. And, you know, just to be clear, it's not just about me hopping on a train and partying and playing all the time. You know, as you can see right now from being here on the radio with you after midnight, it's also, you know, a tremendous amount of work. But, you know, the interesting thing is to meet other Bahamians who are also abroad engaging in a lot of work.
Right.
Whether it be in the offshore banking sector, whether it be Bahamian students abroad. I was surprised to realize how many Bahamian students we have in Europe and even in Switzerland itself until I came here. Bahamians who would tell me, well, oh, you know, I have this niece or nephew or so-and-so who's studying there abroad, look out for them. So there's quite a few Bahamians in the offshore banking sector, culinary sector,
right.
Bahamians who come here often on vacation. You meet a whole plethora of Bahamians here.
Right, right. So tell me, because we're going to go to, you know, a break soon, but I want to know from your vantage point and from an economic standpoint, right? Because obviously our worldviews change, you know, as we travel, as we move into different environments, right? Do you see opportunities that are transferable to Bahamians right now in Geneva?
Well, I think one of the key things for me when I left the Bahamas to come here, being posted with Foreign Affairs, you know, at the time I had mentioned and hinted at earlier, at the time I was teaching at UB, teaching in economics.
Right.
One of the benefits, I think, and one of the things, the transferable opportunities of being here is the ability to engage on the world stage internationally, to see the world from a different lens, to learn and engage and pick up on different skills and the ability to bring that back home at some point, whether that be in the field of trade in terms of what I'm doing here or just from the cultural aspect in terms of understanding the cuisine, understanding the culture, the food, the language, etc. There's so many aspects of the world itself that you will not experience just sitting at home.
Right.
That being here is allowing me to understand, whether it be understanding how employment conditions are in other countries, how people socialize, residential conditions. And I could get it. I could just go on and on about how these different factors are so different. And there's so much transferable knowledge that we can learn from being abroad and how we can apply that to our everyday life. There's a plethora of experience. And I don't know if you know where to begin right now, to be honest.
Yeah.
That would be a raised point.
No, that's actually a pretty good answer, because here's the thing. So a lot of times, you know, we may be in a geographical location, but because everyone has access to the internet, you sometimes think that you are exposed to cultures beyond, but there's nothing like immersive culture. I remember when I was graduating high school, there were some colleagues of mine that did schooling in Cuba, right? And I remember how that impacted and changed the trajectory of their lives because, you know, most of them came back, you know, completely fluent, being bilingual. And so that's something that does not happen if you're not actually immersed, right? So I like the trend of this conversation. I like the things that you're talking about because a lot of times, you know, we hold ourselves back and think like, you know, well, can I go somewhere else and actually compete? And the answer is yes, right? The Bahamians are very talented. You know, we tend to thrive wherever we go. I've been talking to some incredible Bahamians doing amazing things everywhere. And so I'd like to encourage, you know, everyone listening to a show because I see a couple of people are pinging me now. Please text me on the text line and I'll get to some of your texts. I do see them. 422-4796, 422-4796. Because it's a little harder for me to toggle back and forth between Facebook. So please go ahead and text me. That is the easiest way to get your comment read. So let me go ahead and read this. Now, I don't know if you can answer this, but I'm going to read this text anyway. This is one of the first ones that came in, Kemi. And so this person said, you know, good evening. Please ask your talented guest, what can we do as a country of being blacklisted so often? So okay, that's the text.
So that question in terms of the blacklisting, that actually started with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs office in Brussels, Belgium. So they, between them and the Attorney General's office, they're the ones dealing with that.
Okay.
So I'm the trade attaché here in Geneva. So we deal with multilateral discussions with the United Nations. So from my standpoint, that deals with the International Telecom Union, with United Nations Commission on Trade and Development, with the World Trade Organization and other organizations from the trade focus here in Geneva. So that's not my portfolio, so I can't unfortunately speak to that.
Right. So Texter, if you do want to have that conversation, if you do want, because I do have a few requests for more finance-centered conversations. If you do want us to talk about that, I can, you know, reach out to someone. We can possibly have that conversation in the future. So yeah, please stay tuned and thank you for your comment. Here is another question. So this is a text that came in. So it says, hi, please ask your guest if it's really that easy to acclimate to the temperature change. I went on vacation once to Canada for 2 weeks and I was miserable the entire time. It is almost 1 o'clock in the morning. He sounds vibrant. He sounds happy. How is he adjusting to the weather? Okay. Yeah. To the weather. Yeah.
So to answer that question. So, you know, after I left the Bahamas and COB, I went to school in Minnesota. And if for those who don't know.
Oh, yeah. You already had your Minnesota transition.
Right there, you know, the Great Lakes. The weather here in Europe is nothing compared to that. I remember, you know, in my naivete when I was younger,
yes.
You know, you getting up in the morning, like most Bahamians are, you get up, you go to, you went to take a shower, going to class. And I remember literally going to class at like, leaving to go to class at 7 in the morning. And at the time, you know, I had a bit of hair, just yes. Like I do now with dreads. And my hair literally freezing, swelling. I'm in class, my hair breaking off like pieces of ice.
Wow.
Because, you know, at the time, I did not know. I just did when I came back home, showering first thing in the morning.
Right.
Not realizing and looking at all of my, you know, everyone else in the dorm who was showering at night.
Right.
You know, it took me a while to pick up, like, you know, this is why they're doing this, because you can't shower first thing in the morning, et cetera. So the cold for me is not something, but it speaks to the adaptability.
So
I learned at the time to, you know, look around me,
yes.
Look around at my peers, at my colleagues, and use that to quickly adapt.
When in Rome,
you know,
correct.
Exactly. So that's the kind of skill that I'm using right now as well, later in my life, in my career, looking around and adapting. What are my peers doing? What are my colleagues doing? So sometimes it means you have to, you know, take a nap after work like I did to get up for this call to go back to bed. So this kind of a lifestyle that teaches you so much about adaptability and how to acclimate quickly.
Right. So there's another text. So this text has said, is the chocolate as good as they pretend that it is, or is it overhyped?
Oh, it is. There's some certain chocolates that they have here that they don't even export. So you can only buy it in country.
Hold on. So they're gatekeeping chocolate as well.
Of course. Yes, of course.
That's reason enough to travel, Texter.
Chocolate that doesn't even melt in your hands. That's how good it is.
Wow. So here's another text, and this is going to be the last one I read. I see your other text. Thank you for texting in. Again, 422-47. I will get to your other text on the other side of the break. 422-4796. 422-4796. If you are tuned in and you want to go ahead and call in, I'm going to see if we're able to take maybe one, but I would prefer if you text in for the show only because it's a lot easier for us to manage at this time. So 422-4796. I will go ahead and read your comments and ask Kemi the question. So this last text that I'm going to read before we go to the break, this texter wants to know if they want to look for opportunities in Switzerland, what is the best way? Should they go on LinkedIn or Indeed?
Well, I think both are good opportunities, but it also depends on where they want to go. I mean, that's a very broad question.
I mean, texter, let us know which industry you're interested in. So that he could be a little bit more specific if, you know, he has knowledge of that industry. But I think for now, LinkedIn, you said LinkedIn is a good place to start. Well, Indeed.
I mean, I would say, you know, I mean, that is kind of a broad question, but I would say in the first instance for persons, you know, just thinking holistic, their career goal and their aspirations. You know, I'm here in Geneva, which is more of a diplomatic, political city.
Yes.
But, you know, there's also, you know, Geneva is not the biggest city here in Switzerland. You have the population here is only about 500,000 people, so not more than the Bahamas. You have other places such as Zurich, Bern, that are much larger, and they have a different focus. As one of my neighbor actually, if I recall, he lives here in Geneva, but jumps on the train every day and goes to Bern, the capital, for work, dealing more so in the pharmaceutical sector. Another colleague I've met goes to work near to Zurich every day, dealing more so in the industrial mining sector. So, you know, there's quite a bit of opportunities depending on where you want to go. I met a Bahamian here who was studying in hospitality, culinary arts here in Switzerland. So it's kind of a broad question. So it depends on the focus. Are you looking to work in the nonprofit sector? There are quite a bit of nonprofits here because of the present nations. So there's a lot of nonprofits here and persons actually working there, supporting the work that the United Nations does in their different countries.
Right. So the texter actually just texted back and their answer is IT and consultancy.
Well, one of the organizations under my portfolio is the International Telecom Union, which is the UN body that deals with IT on the global level. So here, you know, we have several meetings dealing with aspects such as radio communications, some cell phone standards, the standards dealing with allocation of spectrum, et cetera. And that's coordinated at the UN organization level. So we have global coordination, but you also have other NP and nonprofit organizations and lobbying organizations that also work in tandem with that. So they deal with issues such as how do we ensure that spectrum and other allocations that are discussed at the global level, how do we make sure that nonprofits are getting the benefit of that? For example, I sit on a committee dealing with child online protectors and in the Bahamas and the Americas. So the question is, how do we make sure that there are standards that respect the rights of children to their independence and their ability to learn, but also protecting them from harmful things such as abuse online, predators online, etc. So there are organizations, nonprofit organizations that tie into that as well. So the opportunities are broad and they're vast.
They are.
I would have only seen that because of coming here to Geneva.
Right, right. Okay, text. I hope that's the answer that you're looking for. Please continue to send in your text. I will read them. 422-4796. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. And my guest tonight is Kemi Jones. I'm your host, Dazzy. And we're having a very good conversation, a nice casual conversation, talking about, you know, a Bahamian abroad who's doing amazing things in Geneva. On the other side of the break, when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about strategic priorities, Kemi, and what Bahamians should really look at, especially if they are, you know, a small business or they are a business or an artisan and they have their sights set on the world. Like, what would be your recommendation? I'm kind of trying to get consultancy out of you on air. So stay tuned for that on the second half. We're going to go to a quick break. And on the other side, we will continue the conversation. So stick and stay. Mm-hmm.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tips. We can call them in Miami at 328 tips or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300 tips or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome. Thanks for listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy, and it is amazing to be back. There's so many conversations I want to bring to you. There are so many things that we need to talk about Bahamas. Because guess what? Yes, there's crime happening. Yes, you know, things are not always where we want them to be. But there are Bahamians here doing amazing things abroad, making sure to help the Bahamians that are local as well. And so we need to talk about these things. If you are a Bahamian abroad, please reach out to me. If you're working on projects that benefit Bahamians, even your story is a help and an inspiration, because I always tell people that the biggest inspiration is people watching what you actually do, not necessarily what you say. So if you're a Bahamian abroad and you're working on a project that we should know about, please reach out to me either on LinkedIn or Facebook, Odaz Lightborn. Go ahead and send me a message. Let's have a conversation, because these are the things that actually build a nation. Not that other things don't matter, but our people are the most important. And, you know, inspiration goes a very long way. Sometimes who we become as adults is based on what we saw was possible as a child. I mean, just early in the conversation, even though Mr. Jones eventually changed lanes, seeing around him, right, representations of persons in a professional capacity in medicine was a source of inspiration. So, you know, shows like this are very powerful. We need you to speak, right? We need you to tell us what you're doing. Let us know what is possible and how amazing our nation truly is, right? And not just focusing strictly on the negativity. Yes, it is a part of it, but guess what? Every country in the world has its problems, right? We are not immune, and not, you know, putting anything under the rug or saying that it is, you know, not terrible. But again, we get more of what we focus on. So if we focus, right, every Tuesday on the positive, if we focus on the great things happening, the highlights. I just saw a Bahamian with a flag, and I think she was in Antarctica. So I have to reach out to her, right? I have to reach out to her and have a conversation, because Right? Why? How did you get there? Right? And so that's what I'm saying. You know, Bahamians are everywhere. We're doing things. You know, we're letting our flag fly and letting our presence be known. And so these are the conversations that we definitely need to have, because this is the way how we build a nation. And so everyone can participate in nation building in this way. And if you're listening and you want to go ahead and text, if you have a question for myself or Kemi, 422-4796, 422-4796, go ahead and text and go ahead and reach out to me, right? If you want to be a part of these conversations, if you want, you know, a project you need to let us know about or something amazing that is happening. And I'll keep reiterating that because it is extremely important. I have a lot of amazing shows lined up over the next coming weeks, but guess what? We can never have too many representations of Bahamian excellence. You know, in the U.S., to our neighbors over there, they often talk about Black excellence. So we're going to be talking about Bahamian excellence, right? And in all genres. So not just something that's cognitive heavy or, you know, finance or economics. I thought that this would be a good way to kind of, you know, start the show off on the right energy. But we are going to have conversations, you know, talking about sports, talking about artisans, right? Musicians, right? People in healthcare, every single genre, no matter what it is. If you're doing something amazing and you're a Bahamian abroad, we want to know about it, because this is how, again, we build the nation. And that's something I'm very passionate about. So, Kemi, are you still with us? Can you hear us? Are you still here?
I'm still here. I'm
okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. And let me tell you, we really appreciate you. Someone actually texted it and said that you're a better man than they are. And I said, no, he's dedicated, right? So we want to definitely thank you for staying awake and having this conversation with us. If you just tuned in, guys, where Kemi is right now, he's in Geneva, Switzerland. It is close to what, 1 o'clock?
It's actually 1:13 in the morning.
It is 1:13 in the morning. And he is so passionate about his role and what he does that he's having this conversation with us. So let's just switch gears a bit. And we want to talk about strategic priorities. So, you know, we have a lot of entrepreneurs actually listening to this show now, right? And so this is what they want to know, right? And they you know, they're trying to get a little freebie off you, Kemi. That's okay, right? They want to get a little free consultation. They are entrepreneurs. They're listening. And they want to know, from your vantage point, what would be the strategic priorities that they would need to do over the next few years if they want to export their wares, their talents, their goods, not only to Switzerland, but also into the European region. So what are the priorities that they need to focus on?
Well, that's, you know, that's a very good question. And of course, I'll give a shameless plug here.
Go ahead. Do it. Do it.
The work that I'm doing here.
Yes.
As Trade Attaché in Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Persons would have seen recently that the Attorney General would have spoken about intellectual property and intellectual property rights. A consultation would have been launched right before the holidays, looking at intellectual property. And the reason why that's so important is because I've studied in the U.S., I've studied in China, and, you know, now working here in Europe. You know, when we look at intellectual property, the part of the problem we have is, you know, and well, we have many companies and businesses who may be well-meaning, you know, packaging their products and,
right,
and sending them abroad, that may give you a short-term revenue boost. But without the intellectual property protection, you expose yourself to your ideas just being pirated. And that can be in terms of copyright infringement, whether it be, you know, you writing a book or even putting on a play. I saw, you know, there were certain Bahamians who were going abroad doing plays in the U.S., etc. Without that type of protection, you are just making yourself ripe for exploitation. That person's going to just take your ideas and just run with it. So one of the key things that I'm working on here, in conjunction with the Registrar General's Office and the Attorney
Saturday
General's
morning
office,
cartoons are.
We are looking at intellectual property protection, not just in the Bahamas, but also on a treaty basis, meaning a play that you're putting on in the Bahamas. You have the copyright protection that no one internationally can take your ideas or they can take the concept or the script from your play. And you, that means it gives you the opportunities, for example, to do like a certain Atlanta-based celebrity who's a multimillionaire did. Who can create a studio
Okay.
doing certain stage plays.
Okay.
So that's the kind of work that we're leading here in Geneva, and we're pushing it forward. And I encourage all Bahamians to go to the Bahamas government website, bahamas.gov.bs, and look at how they can leverage intellectual property protection to keep their ideas and their intellectual property, their creativity for themselves, and exploit that globally.
So intellectual property is a big, big deal. Both my parents were musicians. Kemi, I don't know if you know that. So that conversation actually used to happen in the household from when I was a child, right? And so if you're listening to this, I don't want what was just said, because as it stands right now, a lot of persons who would have needed that protection in the past, they would have had to go, you know, to the U.S. They would have had to go abroad, right? And it can be very cost prohibitive, especially if you are a small vendor or you're a startup where you need these protections, but you don't necessarily have the budget, you know, to retain someone U.S.-based for these protections. This is now putting the power in your hands, and it is a big deal. So when these articles actually came out and I saw them in the press, I was very excited about that, because that is taking us, you know, so far and so much closer to where we actually need to be. I think that, you know, as a cause for celebration. Now, I know some people do have some concerns, but here's the thing. Everything is an improvement, right? We would have had nothing before. And so you may still feel like, okay, I'm not sure if it's going to be adequate and do it US-based, still do it Bahamian-based, right? Because one thing I know about us as Bahamians, once we take something and run with it, it's obvious, right? You look at our little small country, and per capita, you know, we have so many Olympic medals. We have so many things to show for our dedication and commitment. We have so many professional athletes now. So I want us to change this posture that we have, where everything that we do, we look at with criticism and what's wrong with it. That's helpful and constructive. But guess what? If you're not using it, you don't know the flaws anyway. So there's no way that you can speak on that. So congratulations to you, Kemi, and your team, because that is, you know, significant. And that is quite the milestone for the Bahamas, so that, you know, we can have a seat at the table like other countries. And we can, you know, put our wares forward and put our intellectual property forward and have protections, right? And so I think that is significant. So I want to ask a little bit about, because the global economy is evolving rapidly, right? We're seeing so many trends. We're seeing so many shifts. And us as Bahamians, you know, we have to not only observe the trends, but we have to kind of keep up, right? And so I hear a lot of chatter sometimes about, you know, what the next big thing is in terms of global shifts in business. So, you know, at one point, everything was course creations or the creative economy. You know, you had the wave where, you know, it was, you know, a lot of the cryptocurrencies, right? Which I would not say it's done, but it's being redefined, right? And so would you say that your location at the moment, because you're sitting right now at the crux of where a lot of the best minds from all over the world congregate, would you say that geographically you are having a significant advantage being at the table where a lot of these conversations are being had about the direction of the global economy and what is going to be, you know, the next big things or the things that are going to be focused on?
You know, you see that, what you said is very, very loaded, and I'll ask you like this. One of the unfortunate realities for the Bahamas is when it comes to international trade, the Bahamas has unfortunately never really been at the table. When we look at things such as World Trade Organization, we look at global trade treaties, CARICOM, the Bahamas has never really been fully engaged. So sitting here at the table in Geneva with many of my counterparts from other countries who are exploiting trade, you know, it definitely shows you the potential and the opportunities, if I'm answering your question well.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
In terms of, you know, look at countries like Jamaica, where they have intellectual property protection on the process for making rum, or even the process for making jerk sauce.
Yes.
They have that, you know, patented and protected in terms of how the process of doing that. When you look at the Bahamas, we keep talking about this over the years in terms of expanding and diversifying our tourism product. when you think of the potential, right now we just had Junkanoo being declared an international cultural heritage aspect with UNESCO. Just think about the potential of patenting that. You know, the possibility of having patent protection around that. So, you know, if there's a trademark, anywhere you go, there's an insignia that says, this is Junkanoo.
Yes.
This is the pub Junkanoo in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
One of the benefits of being here and sitting at the table with so many, with our contemporaries, is seeing the possibilities, seeing what can happen, and seeing that where the country can go, things we've never thought about before. And, you know, that's what makes me so passionate.
Wow.
Seeing, you know, things that we have not done, we've not tried, that we just didn't think about. So I'm hoping I answered your question.
You are not only answering my question, you are making me realize that we need to have further conversations about this. So that whatever other information you can disseminate to us, because here's the thing, if we are where we are now without even looking in some of the directions that you're mentioning, you know, that is the difference between an economy that what I call cannibalizes itself a lot, where a lot of the entrepreneurs, their vision is basically, you know, what is within that 21/7? And occasionally, you know, the islands outside of that, right? And seeing the limits that, you know, we often put on ourselves because, again, it's a cannibalization of the market. You know, it's very closed circuit. But if there are possibilities that are there that exist that we've not tapped in and thought about, you know, and we have so much talent here, you know, it really makes me hopeful about what the future is and what can actually happen, because I'm a big believer, and I've always been this way, that the best way for Bahamians to thrive is to actually, you know, sell their wares, whether it be, you know, like you say, the intellectual property that focuses on, you know, plays and the arts, but to focus on getting new money into the country that is going to stay, right? And I'm not knocking foreign investors by any means. Right? That has its place, that is necessary. But if we can get new money in the country, right, to import, right, based on us selling our wares to the world, I think that is significant. And you can see the interest that people have in the Bahamas, right? Anywhere you travel in the world and you tell people, you know, where you're from, that is an entire conversation. Now, what the conversation centers around sometimes has to do with what our branding is centered around. So sometimes, you know, you go abroad and they want to talk about the swimming pigs. You know, other times, unfortunately, they want to talk about, you know, some other things that are going on. So it depends on our branding. So imagine if we can get our wares, our products, the things that are authentically Bahamian, the things that we are proud of, and to get them abroad. I just want to say very quickly, and she is not, I have not spoken to her directly, but I was very impressed over the holiday to actually come across this artisan. She creates a product called the House of Assembly, and it's a line of bags. I don't know if you've seen those or heard of that, Kemi.
I have, and you know, I just want to be a bit clearer in terms of what you were saying just now.
Yes.
It's not necessarily about getting new money into the country, because we get new money all the time in terms of foreign direct investment, in terms of hotels, etc. So what, you know, for me, what I'm speaking about is expanding the opportunities in the orange economy, not necessarily getting new money in, but taking advantage of the creativity that's already domiciled in the country and exporting that. So you mentioned House of Assembly. Yes, I'm familiar with the brand and the bags.
Beautiful
and
product.
Before, but just think about the opportunities now, where you can have a trademark or a patent on them. I think Carl Taylor, he cornered that market.
Yes.
There with his bags in the past, such that. But now think of the potential where every time, I was not able to come home for Christmas this year, but we've spoken about it a lot. When we have the market there at the cruise port, such that every time we have a festival such as Junkanoo, every single headpiece, every single brand costume, you have that stamp and brand on it saying made in the Bahamas.
Yes.
You know, Bahamians put their hands on that piece of crepe paper to fashion it in a way that only we can. Now that's a brand and a product that we can export that's authentically Bahamian. That's what we're talking about, expanding opportunities for the orange economy. Whether it's Junkanoo, whether it's music, whether it's the oral tradition, such as the stage plays, and, you know, those kinds of things. So we're talking not necessarily about bringing money in, but exporting, but taking our products out to the world. to bring money in, which is something we have not really focused on much in the past.
Correct. No, I agree 100%. So here's my vantage point with the bringing the money in, right? So I say that because I definitely agree. Here's the thing. Foreign investment or foreign direct investment, a lot of Bahamians, that trickle-down effect, they have not seen the benefit of that, and there's no retention, right? So that's why when we talk about, you know, jobs, I don't really get excited about the jobs conversation, but I know that if you're a creative and you have, you know, artwork to sell, and you're selling that, and you're getting $10,000 a painting, that is going in your bank account, and you're going to spend that in the economy, that's what we're about. So I really love what you're saying, Kemi, about all of it, because this is the direction we definitely need to go in. So I have a text. Let me read. I have one or two. Let me read a few of them just very quickly. So this one says, great show. Can you please ask him to come back at some point? I'm really enjoying the conversation. Thank you. So here's another one. It says, welcome back, Dazzy. I thought that you forsaked us forever. Well, you know, at one point, you know, I was like, you know, never again, right? But hey, what the old people say, you ain't passed nothing till you're dead. So I am back. Right. So here's another text. So this one, I'm going to read this. This is very facetious. So this texter, Kevin, is saying that if you have space on your visa for one more person, no, this is not that kind of show. You go over there on your own merit, please. This is not... I'm so sorry. Your DMs may be... These people trying to escape the country. We are going... No. Go on LinkedIn and you go, right? He's doing what he needs to do for him. He has another text. Really enjoying the show. I was a previous coworker of Kemi years ago. I don't want to say from which company because we will both show our age, right? But I just want you to let him know. I don't know what that is, right? Because Kemi only 30, so I don't know what you're talking about, right?
You know what? So, leave it right there.
Exactly. Right. So they want to say kudos to you and congratulations. Proud of you. You're always very intelligent and talented and glad to hear that you're doing great things abroad. So thank you, Texter, for that. Here's another text. So just this one just says, go, Kemi, go. So I'm guessing that's someone else. So we are
cheering squad, right?
Yeah, you got a cheering squad. So people are very excited and happy about the information. And then let me read this last text. Can you please do a part two of this show? An hour is not enough. I still have more questions. I can't articulate them fully. Yes, we will at some point, definitely. We are actually running out of time. So thank you so much, Kemi Jones, all the way from Geneva, Switzerland, a Bahamian, doing amazing things abroad. And we will definitely have a follow-up conversation to this one because there's just so many other things that we've not gotten into. I have so many other questions that we need, you know, an expansion on, but I definitely wanted to introduce you to the audience, get that conversation going, and to get people really thinking about what it is we need to do. So in 15 seconds or less, if you have any closing words before I let you go, yeah.
Well, I mean, the only thing is, you know, we have Bahamians abroad doing wonderful things, trying to advance the nation and push forward the narrative, making sure the Bahamas is at the table in all places and in all spaces. So, you know, this dialogue is important, and yes, certainly I'll be back to talk about more of the things we're doing as long as you will have me. And yeah, just and if anyone wants to reach me, they can find me on Facebook or LinkedIn, just my name, Kemie Jones, and I look forward to us talking again.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. So you are listening to Beyond the Rock, and I hope you enjoyed our first episode. Love being back. Love having this conversation. This is Dazzy. We are going to have more conversations like this, and thank you so much. Please go ahead and share the link with a friend, and please stay tuned. I will be here again next week, same time, 6:30 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Good night, everyone. Be safe, and love you.